a chance to hear from a brother that's in another city in our M28 network of churches, a small network and alliance that we have of about 11 churches across the U.S., mostly the West. And Greg is in L.A. He's going to tell you a little bit about what they're doing down in Los Angeles near USC. He got a chance to share it, was it last summer or two summers ago? A while back. So love to hear some updates on that. I remember your son was helping with a animal that you guys had found that was like injured and you guys nursed it back to life. Was it a squirrel or a pigeon or something that you guys were working with in your...
Yeah.
There was something there.
Very Californian of us, we took it to a pigeon reserve.
A pigeon reserve. Yeah. Yep. They're everywhere in California. So every street corner has a pigeon reserve. So anyway, I always love hearing from Greg. I love his genuine humility that I see in his life as an example. I love his love for people. He loves people well, and he knows people well. He knows how to relate and how to care. He's got a big heart for people. And he knows how to surf. And so that's really good, too. And so appreciate you, brother. I'm going to pray and then love for you to share your heart. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for Greg. Thank you for what you're doing in L.A. We just pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what Greg has to share in story from your word as we hear from you. Just thank you, God, for your body all across the world and what you're doing. So pray a blessing over him and speak through him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. And did you say Greg knows how to surf?
Yeah.
Like surf?
Yeah. Surf.
Or serve? Okay. All right. I do know how to surf. This is like the international sign for ride the wave. See that? That's, yep. Everybody do this. This is like crowd participation, right? And so as the curl's coming over, though, you don't want to be there. Right, that's what you get taken under and wash that. You want to go through that. All right, that is going to come into play a little bit later, though, because I will say more about riding the wave. And you don't have to know about riding the wave to live like you're riding the wave. All right, so my name is Greg Christman. I am married to this beautiful woman. Her name is Julie, and... I wanted to just start here and say that it's an honor to be here. Last year I got to speak, and as Pat shared, I'm part of the Alliance Leadership Council. That sounds very L-O-T-R of us, Lord of the Rings. It's like A-L-C, L-O-T-R, you know. Anyway, the Alliance Leadership Council is going to be meeting here in the next couple of days before our DTC, so many acronyms, which is the high school discipleship training camp that is going to be hosted out of Fort Collins. I'm going to be speaking there. It starts Wednesday night, and Wednesday evening, a brother from Utah, his true and honest first name is Steele, and Steele is going to be speaking on Wednesday night, and Thursday morning, after all the high schoolers have slept really well, I get to speak first thing Thursday morning. So if you think about me, pray for me Thursday morning. So I'm excited to be here. I was tasked or told that you guys are going through Timothy and to be able to speak from Timothy, and something that's just been on my heart really this whole year is 2 Timothy 2. So we're going to be looking at that, but by way of introduction, and partly why I showed these pictures is Pat and Cindy, you guys have just been such a blessing to me in my marriage. And in more ways than one, this picture on the left is Julie and I at Acadia National Park last year for our 20th wedding anniversary, and we're riding bikes, and some of you know my story, but a number of years ago, I was hit on a bike, and Pat, you really came out and ministered to me and my wife through that. But it really wasn't just that. It was even before that, Pat sitting with Julie and I, helping us in our marriage. Cindy, you just being an awesome big sister to Julie. And And you should know that as a cyclist, I was super excited to ride what are called the carriage roads at Acadia National Park. If you ever get the chance to do this, I highly recommend it. And I found this really cool. If you know Pat in cycling, you know, Pat, you've inspired me. I found like the coolest bike shop there in, what's it called? Bar Harbor or whatever it is there. And, you know, super high-end, like Pinarello gravel bike, all custom-made stuff. And I was geeking out. I was like, I am renting this. We are riding the gravel roads, honey. And she was like, you can. And I said, but they also rent e-bikes. And it was a Pinarello e-bike. I've never heard of this. It was so cool. And it was beautiful. This picture doesn't do it great justice, but we got to see the changing of the seasons. And in LA, we really just have two seasons. There's summer, and then there's spring. That's it. That's all you get in LA for the most part. She really wanted to see the changing of the colors, and this picture kind of gets at that, but there were really beautiful scenes. I mean, just blown away by the changing of the seasons. And that was our theme. Going on this 20-year anniversary, we talked a lot, we prayed a lot, spent time thinking about the changing of the seasons. You know, even with our little ones growing up, I have, I'll show you here in a minute, three kids. And in Boston, they have this little famous Make Way for Ducklings. You ever read that book or seen that book? Well, they have this these bronze statues of the ducklings where my wife is posing. And we thought about that, how we have these little ducklings, but they're growing up and they're going to fly away, you know, or they're going to go reproduce, hopefully other disciples. And so I just share that. That's Julie and I. We have three kids. In the middle is Cana. He just turned 14. And on the left there is Elle. And Elle just turned 12. And then my youngest is there on the right. Her name is Cora. And she is 10. And this is at USC campus. And so our church for since about 2009 has been meeting on campus at USC. And this is called Founders Park. What's really cool about USC is there are just all these little urban parks with fountains. And back in the day, those lions would spit water. They don't do that anymore. But it's really amazing to see them grow up. And they're each unique personalities. They just finished junior lifeguards at the beach, which is a pretty intense from 8 to noon every day for 4 weeks, and putting in work to really learn those skills, and really excited for them. I also thought I'd share this next picture because as I think about our church, we're broken up into what we call missional communities, and this is our missional community. And we're out there on campus one evening. Kind of, I saw your announcement of going prayer walking, and we'll go prayer walking on campus. A few of us will stay by this table and engage with people. And this was one evening, and I was just thinking about how so much of even what you are doing here, praying together, prayer walking together, celebrating babies together, mourning, grieving together, is going to come into play here this morning. Another picture, I just thought I'd give you a picture of who we are. Is we have a homeschool co-op, and this is the homeschool co-op. One of our deacons, Ben, is right there in the middle. And I actually didn't bring a couple pictures, but we have been renovating an old building in LA, and it's been quite the project. And one of the things we hope to do is use it for the homeschool co-op. And I'm just so amazed. I think partly I use this picture because as I am here and I'm in Nathan's basement, and which is an amazing schoolroom, I just think, man, so many of these families would dream about having a schoolroom like you guys have. Like, you are really gifted with an amazing schoolroom. Like, you have 3,000 years of history on one whole wall. And I'm thinking, oh man, none of our moms have a wall that big. You know, like we really are in South LA in these much smaller homes, more urban environment. And yet I think of this picture and I think about the faith that's represented here and the moms that are raising children right there in our city. And I just want to say thank you for praying for us, for the city. I think it was a year ago I gave an update on the fires, and they're still cleaning up. Actually, I just got an email 3 weeks ago near Pasadena. Someone here has family in Pasadena. In the Eden fire, they're still doing cleanup here this summer. And there's just something that you just need to know about our church is there's just so many needs. And yet, when I see this picture, I think, thank you, Lord, for faithful men and women that just want to raise children who are fearing the Lord and faithfully go out and make disciples. You know, because there are just so many things that can distract us. And so here this morning, I'm going to look at 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. I thought I put a slide in here of the verses. Hang on. Okay. All right. That's all right. We'll go back here. Oh, did that just go away? How do I do this? I shouldn't have done that. Here we go. Okay. So I was told that it's good to interact here. And I've witnessed that this morning. Man, I am over the moon. I am just so thrilled to be here in a church that is interacting with each other. You know, our little church, which, I mean, you saw all these folks. And, I mean, it feels like it's always interacting, because anytime you have true relationships, you're going to interact with each other. And so this is going to be a little bit of a sermon, a little bit of interaction, all right? And so one of the things I wanted to ask you guys and is, where does strength come from? All right, when you think about strength, becoming strong, I can see you're thinking about it. I like that. All right, he has hair. You have awesome hair. I'm jealous. Maybe your strength comes from your hair. All right, where does strength come from?
Adversity.
Adversity. Who said that? All right, interesting. What do you mean by that?
I just don't think that it just happens. It's a process of growing that involves pain.
He's a fighter pilot.
He's a fighter pilot. No, what you made me think of is a different metaphor, and help me out here, but I want to say like metal workers or steel workers, like you're bending the metal and purifying it, and it has to, and that's how it gets stronger.
Or weightlifting.
Weightlifting. Ooh. Yeah. Under load, pushing against that. I'm 51, and I'm like just trying to do like body weight work, and that's like... I know. All right. Where does strength come from?
A clear conscience.
A clear conscience. How does that give you strength?
If you are not harboring shame or guilt, it gives you confidence to move out strongly in the world and not be hindered by that kind of baggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Clarity. It gives you clarity. Yeah. That's really good. You're deep. You're the worship leader. Good, amen.
It says that when we wait on the Lord, he renews our strength.
Oh.
You read my notes. How does waiting give us strength, though?
Well, we learn to depend on God for what
it shifts dependence.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right, so two things I realized I need to be honest. Friday, I started getting a cold. Yesterday morning, just total nose running. And then yesterday afternoon, I got on the plane And I just had that whole experience where all the congestion just went right up into my head. And I can't hear out of this ear. And I'm like hearing myself mainly. So I'd ask for your patience. The other thing, true confessions here. This brother asked me in the back about, grew up playing soccer. I see the Messi fan behind you. All right. It's amazing. I think back, and it's your fault, man. I haven't thought about being a high schooler in a long time. And having three kids, I coach and I referee. And so I'm just much more in like this shepherding mindset. Going to the field, I can get so anxious. There are 100,000 needs. And soccer, it's a dynamic game. And the thing that's helped me the most this year is just before I get out of the car to go to the field is take 10, 15 minutes just to wait on the Lord. And it's amazing how it gives me clarity out there. All right, well, I'm going to read this passage. 2 Timothy 2, 1b says, be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus. I want to say, So I'm going to read this and I'm going to pray again. So this is our passage for today. If you're taking notes, I just encourage note-taking. I don't remember things super well, so I just encourage note-taking. I wonder if I can make this. Okay. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Right on time. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Let's pray together here. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that we have in your son. Thank you for the people of Beggar's Gate. Thank you for this church, your people that you're called out of darkness to gather here, Lord, in Loveland, Colorado. Thank you for the work of their hands going forth. Thank you for their relationships. I do just pray as you're working in each of us, Lord, would we hold fast, Lord, to the faith that you've given to us, would that really go forth, produce good fruit? Lord, you are the vine, we are the branches. Lord, would we stay connected to you? We know that without you, it's nothing, Lord. We pray to you, King Jesus, the Savior of our souls. We thank you for this time. Go before us here now, in Jesus' name. Amen. For some reason, I want to be able to see my slides, and I don't have my reading. Oh, here we go. All right. So where does strength come from? I think many of you had this answer. One of the things that stood out to me is in Isaiah 40, 29 and 31, it says, he gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, he increases strength. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. One of the things that we notice here before we even get into our passage is the character of God. The character of God is he is always present to give strength. One of the things I forget so often when I'm running out there to the field or I'm running out of the house is that God is with me. He's going before me. That he is the one who gives power, not me. Oh, man. I want to hold fast to that. Here in this passage, it starts off and it says that there's a very specific way to be strong. And that is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So this strength is different than just lifting weights, although I'll go there in a minute. It's different than just learning a new discipline. It really is the strength in grace. It's essential to being a strong Christian. I want to say I learned a password. I shouldn't give it out to everybody, but it's grace and truth, right? And I love that. It is grace and truth. We talked about the table here, and I thought about how grace is really threefold in the life of a Christian. A strong Christian has a threefold grace. It's the past grace for what Christ did for us at the cross. That's Ephesians 2:8. It's by grace you have been saved. So it's this past tense. I'm going to come back to the present tense, and of course you talked about the future tense. I intentionally stayed away from the future tense here, although I do think in our our MIC world and always on our screens, we just want to be escaped into this future grace, and maybe that inundates the way we live as Christians. But I wanted to focus on the present grace. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And so I think about the great, be strong in the grace. Yes, be strong in the table. Be strong in knowing that you were justified by his works, that there's no barrier, as our brother talked about, between us and God because of Jesus' work, not because of our work. But then there's this aspect of present grace. I'm getting ready to run out there to the soccer field. Referee, you know, the 14 and unders, they play on a World Cup size field. So what you see on TV, it's the same field we referee on. And I think, okay, how many sprints am I going to be able to do today? All right. Sometimes these young ones, they just want to kick the ball. And to be a good referee, you need to be close to the action. Not so much in the World Cup because they have video, whatever, VAR. But I think I need a present grace to keep my head straight. When I think about this, I think about this picture. Brother on the right, same brother in the middle on both. His name's Dominic. He came to know the Lord last year, and we baptized him here at the Ocean. And it was through his girlfriend, this happens, who came to know the Lord from China, who she said, "Hey, you really need to get to know these Christians." She didn't even know how to share the gospel. She didn't know the Bible. He came to church. He'd never read the Bible before. And Dom and I started meeting regularly and just talking about what does it mean to know God. And one of the things, and I'm really glad this little table's here, maybe you've heard this analogy before, but he was thinking that life is like a table and I just need to know everything, all the knowledge in the world is on this table. Like everything, like little bits and dots, and engineering is one little thing, and architecture and painting and, you know, music and everything, politics, everything is on this table. I just need to figure all this out, and then I'll have life figured out. And I said to him, I said, "What happens when you get to the edge?" So what about the knowledge that's off the table? And he said he never thought about that before. Right? And that's a full manifestation of like that self-will. All I need to know is what's on the table. But as many of you have been examples to me in, life comes at you. It comes at you fast, and there's so many things we don't know. And he recognized there is a God. He recognized I do need God to know everything off the table, which is way more vast than what's on the table. And he put his faith in Christ. This picture on the right is with my buddy Paul and Dominic. And I put this on here. I'm getting a little emotional because this was just last week, Thursday night. I don't even know what day it is. Today's Sunday, the Lord's Day. Hallelujah. All right. Thursday, Paul and I have been discipling Dom. And we took Dom up here. It's kind of a famous photo spot. And you know you're from L.A. when a good parking spot brings you to tears. We come up around the corner, and this guy was just pulling out, and I thought, no way. Now, this picture doesn't give you the scene. I mean, there are people from, we had a couple from Vietnam take our picture. All right, this place is just, it's very international, and everyone goes here to take their picture, and there are probably 300 people around us right now. This car pulls out, and I was like, brothers, this never happens. We just pulled in. All right. I show this picture, though, because in 2 weeks, he's moving back to China. And my heart is just so heavy for him. Paul and I have been discipling him. And just a couple weeks ago, he shared with us, he said, so what do you guys do when you see a movie and there's stuff in it that you think this doesn't honor God? And I was like, well, tell me more. And I came to learn that he has quite the movie-watching habit that I didn't know about. And I just thought, okay, this is you being saved. This is you in the present. We're going to talk about this. And it was really awkward. Like, his pattern in all of life through undergrad in China is probably to ingest at least a movie a day. Sometimes more. I mean, it was just like, oh, wow. I really want to talk about how you're using your time. Now he's getting ready to leave. Oh, my gosh. Brothers, sisters, this is all up to me, right? I mean, is he going to be a fully equipped disciple going back to China who's going to take China by storm and he's going to raise up disciples? I don't know. I'm praying for it. This is, though, what it looks like to be strong in grace. Because what I just shared with you, it's not all up to me, right? So, I want to ask you guys. There's this issue of being saved. You've been saved. This is glorious. There's this present aspect where you're being saved. And I just want to ask you guys, which one of these do I most struggle with believing is true of me today? I have been saved, or I'm being saved? Right? How much time do I have? Okay. I want to interact on this. It's good. We might go through lunch. It's okay. No, I'm not going to go through lunch. So you took communion. I love communion. The picture of the Bible, that's easy. You leave here today, you go out, you're not going to the soccer field, I'm going to the soccer field. There's 200 screaming moms and dads who don't want their 10-year-old, to get hurt. I'm allowed to get angry, right? No, I'm not. I have to sow to the Spirit, even in that moment. It's hard. For me, being reminded I'm being saved, it's hard for me to walk in that, to believe that. How about you?
I don't like your question.
You don't like the question?
No, it's like, if it's once saved, have been saved, done deal, how can we actively be saved going forward?
Yeah. Sowing to the Spirit. So there's this idea that we're sowing to the Spirit. So I'm saved in the past by Christ's work. That's why it's all by grace. But that's also why it's grace in the present, because I'm not fully glorified yet. I'm not perfect. I'm not face to face with my Lord and Savior. And so that's why the question's there. So we can struggle partly with believing that that has happened in the past, or we can struggle with that is presently happening. Does that help?
I think of a drowning analogy.
I'm sorry?
A drowning analogy. Okay. I had a circumstance where I had a friend actively drowning in what was a relatively safe situation. It was not a super strong current. It was just in one of our small rivers up here, which can be dangerous, but I swam out to her. She was, quote, saved because I was there to help her, but she was like a rock. Like, trying to drag her back to the shoreline was incredibly difficult. Like,
you don't realize how difficult it is to help a drowning person, and how the process of being saved is challenging.
Yeah.
And it's active.
Yeah.
So it was a case of, like, she was saved, she was being helped. There was a flotation device nearby, but she had to drag herself.
Yeah.
So I think there's an acceptance side to it. It's a two-way relationship. Christ has saved us, but we need to let ourselves be saved.
Yeah.
We need to be active participants.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a profound story, profound moment. What's your name, brother?
Brendan.
Yeah, so when I think about this first point, the strength in the grace of our Lord Jesus, we can think about, hey, he grabbed me, but how is that working out in our lives daily? So I just ask you to carry that. I wanted to go further and say, what could Beggar's Gate do to practice both aspects of God's grace and salvation? What would you practice to grow in these? And I've already seen it, so I don't know if I really need to ask you, but you practice the table. This is looking backward. You know, you're going prayer walking this Thursday. But that's something that when I think about a local body of believers, there has to be ownership of being strong in the grace of God. That each of you would be marked by the grace of God, not something that you worked up, but that you keep going back to Jesus and saying, oh, wow, Jesus, I want to glorify you. I need your grace for today. All right. So one of the things that I think this is marked by is by our fears. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. When I think about my three kids, they each have their own struggles, they're each so unique, and it's a little mirror back into my own fears. And I like this quote by Michael Foster. He says, we are often ruled by many other fears long before they learn that lesson. He's referring to this verse. Right, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. But we often are ruled by many other fears long before they learn that lesson. We fear rejection. We fear failure, embarrassment. We fear hard work. Fear responsibility, authority. We fear authority. Fear pain, being thought of by weak, by our peers. Much of growing into manhood and womanhood is learning to put those fears in their proper place by learning to fear God above all else. When I think about being strong in the grace of God, I keep coming back to this. As a father, as a coach, as a referee, I had this great example to me, a mentor in refereeing, and especially the 10 and under gals. Such a gentle giant. He was 6'4", probably weighed twice as much as me. And this little girl, you know, just coming, this is the player, and she's going for the ball. The ball's in front of her and just comes up and swings through her back leg. All the parents are screaming and yelling. She falls down. The ball rolls away. The person who does the foul, you know, the referee, you know, big guy, bigger than Pat, just comes up and he's like, sweetheart, it happens. I saw you were going for the ball, but you didn't get the ball. You got her leg. You didn't get the ball. You got her leg. The girl who did the foul heard her parents screaming at her. In that moment, she's looking up, and she was like getting all worked up, like, really, I can't do bad things. Who knows? A million thoughts are going through her head. Why did I do that? And this guy, he just put all those fears to rest. Her shoulders dropped. She said, yeah, I did that. I think about being strong in the grace of God. I have to put my fears in the right place. I talked to my wife yesterday, and she gave me this picture. Anybody see what that is? Oops. It's a broken jar of pickles. Somebody here had a sour, sweet and sour shirt on My girls, they sell lemonade. We have a lemon tree, and they make lemonade, and then pickles, and they can their own pickles, and everybody loves them in our neighborhood. And this is actually not, this is a stock photo that I found. But Julie had about 15 things going on. And in this moment, she was just like, Greg, trying to clean up a broken jar of pickles, it has to be one of the hardest things. There's all the tiny glass everywhere, you know, the liquid's getting everywhere. I mean, my whole floor's a mess. And I was planning to go out and whatever, finish things on her list. And we talked about this. I said, what fears were coming up for you? Well, that I would miss that, or I'd miss this. Or I feared that I wouldn't be good enough. Oh my gosh, so many things happen in life that our fear of not getting to whatever's next is greater than our fear of the Lord. The reason I'm saying this is because if our fear is not placed in the right place, we will not be strong in the grace of Christ. Our fear will be greater. I show this next picture. This is a baby shower. You guys are about to have a baby shower. This gal is in the middle, anew, with her mom, and has this wonderful picture. And they're really celebrating, you know, this second child. And it was just a year before that I had to do probably one of the hardest things in my life, is to do a funeral for her baby that was born and passed just 6 days after being born. And she was told that she probably wouldn't get pregnant again. And much of this baby shower, while it was joyous and excited, was grieving. Is learning to put her fear in the right place. And they named this daughter Victoria. And I wish I put a breast. She is so gorgeous. She is so beautiful. So Vicky, they call her Vicky. She's in my small group that I shared earlier. And I just thought, oh man, here is a place of godly women coming around, not saying you have to be perfect. Because to be perfect to be strong in the grace of Christ would not be to be strong in His grace, right? It's actually, you lead with your fear. I have fear here. And then you get surrounded prayerfully by lots of others that are praying for you. I put this one in here for the younger folks. Here I am coaching. We have these jerseys that say, I coach, you cheer, they play. Trying to encourage the parents not to be the coaches. Sometimes you get parents that want to play. That really doesn't work. That's my son on the right in his protective goggles. This really is much more there's one way to heaven type picture. You know, follow the captain. But I don't have a picture of this, but it was this season, and he was pointing. And my son, all of my kids, especially if you're watching the World Cup, everybody has celebrations when you celebrate a goal. And Kano really thought about this. He didn't tell me, though. And he did what we call a goal that goes in the top bin. And he scored from outside the box in the top bin, which is an upper right corner. He just couldn't believe it. And I thought about what it meant to be strong in the grace of Christ. He was so excited. He'd never done that before. He started jumping, leaping, shouting, you know. And then he did this. He and I didn't talk about that beforehand. It was just in the moment. And all his team came around him, and then he fell over. And a couple of the boys asked him, hey, what were you doing? Like, you just let us tackle you. He goes, I was pointing to my Lord and Savior. I think to have fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and connects you to this grace of God. It's to know who you're pointing to. And even yesterday, I just got to pray with my wife over a broken jar of pickles on the floor. We just got to pause and pray, and the strength of the Lord came upon her. And she took the rest of the day as it came. I'm going to fly through the end here. I was thinking about how the second part of the message is about spreading the word of what I'll say powerful grace to others. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach these also. In this commentary by Clark, he says, Paul seems to refer here to the doctrines delivered to him when, in the presence of many witnesses, he had laid his hands upon Timothy. See 1 Timothy 6:12. Then the apostle gave him the proper form of sound words which he was to teach. And now he tells him to commit those truths to faithful men in the same way that they are committed to him. It's a wonderful picture, and I do think about this in my own life. What am I hearing? What doctrines am I immersed in? You know, this is one of the things going back to Dom, just learning that simple practice of being in the Word every day, memorizing the Word, you know, and how do I do this with others? One of the things I realized with Dom is I really hadn't been asking him what he had been using his extra time with. It was like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. And Dom wants to step into that. It's not like, you know, we're against each other. You know, commit these things to faithful men. You know, Timothy was not to teach others his own particular ideas or theories, but a simple apostolic doctrine and example. The things that you've heard from me, what Paul poured into him, he was responsible to pour into others. Here I want to ask you, and we'll end here, is Timothy was to look for the quality of faithfulness. He didn't need to find smart men or popular men or strong men or easy men, perfect men, good-looking men, although I see many good-looking men here. Paul told him to look for faithful men. And so I want to ask you, what does it look like to you? What does a faithful man or woman look like to you? That's who I want you to leave here and pray for that. As you go prayer walking, be thinking, send me to a faithful man or woman. Well, who are you looking for? Thoughts?
It's a little bit of action spread out over a long time.
A little bit of action spread out over a long time. All right, that sounds good. Dress it up for me.
So it's not some big one-time accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit every day.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Be that to each other, but be praying for, hey, would you send me someone who'd be faithful to meet with me regularly? Yeah. Other thoughts?
Congruent thoughts and actions. What they say and what they do is consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, like I go back to my buddy Dom. Like, oh man, I want to teach him so many things. But you know what I can trust the grace of the Lord for in his life? Is when he reads something or he hears the word, he responds. There's a congruency there. He's not butting up against me saying, I want it my way. One last one. Faithful man or woman?
Well, it's going to have to come from a relationship because you're going to have to learn what they do.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, when they leave, they're waiting, they're listening to the Lord.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, the works can show faith, but
yeah,
you'll see that their inner habits are gonna be a certain way.
You know, as much as this little illustration of the referee to the little girls that accidentally, fouled each other, he was actually creating a relationship with her, and that was the thing that taught me. It's like, oh. When I'm refereeing out there, I can pause and actually get the eyes of the person and think about who they really are. And we can do that as we go out with the grace, being strong in the grace, having that relationship. Of course, and that's what makes it hard too, me thinking about Dom leaving. Just quick little story. This brother on the left, Paul, who's been discipling Dom, these were men that discipled him in his life. And they just happened to be in Southern California. And it was such a joy. He actually didn't know the brother in the middle was an assistant pastor in Bangalore. And he just happened to show up. And I was like, Paul, how do you know that guy so well? He said, when I was in middle school, he discipled me. Brothers and sisters, who you meet this week, you might have a relationship with that only lasts a short amount of time, 1 year, 2 years. But you might see them in 15 years and they might say to you, you changed my life. Be strong in the grace of Jesus. This is another picture. I'm going to end here. DTC is about not being ashamed of the gospel. But you know what's interesting about this verse in verse 17 is it's about faith. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Brothers, sisters, I got to tell you, when I think about grace and being strong in the grace of Christ, it starts with taking faith. It's not up to me, just like the table wasn't up to you. He went to the cross for you. When you were still a sinner, he was without sin. Went to the cross and paid for your sins. Now he's resurrected in glory. He's victorious over death. And he has given you his spirit. Yeah, he's given you his spirit to walk by grace. Would you take faith today? Would you go forth in faith? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have been gracious to us, that you are the God of grace, that you do long for us to walk in union with you, to know your nearness, to know your kindness, to know your creative power, as someone prayed earlier. And all that is by your grace. And so would we be so inspired all the more to be full of faith, men and women eager to walk by faith, whatever the small details are, broken jars of pickles, to experiencing amazing goals, would we just express faith? Yeah. Reflect the glory that you have to you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for the leadership here. Would you bless the leadership here at Beggar's Gate? Would you bless all the men and women that are faithfully serving here? And would they be walking in that joy of gratitude and thankfulness that we practiced earlier? Lord, I thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Pray all this for your glory. In Jesus' name.